feels like we were away sometime. We were away a couple weeks ago. We were in Winnipeg. We took in a conference, took in our Lifelinks conference, and we enjoyed it very much there. One of the things that that happened, we had a brother speak to us from Ghana. I was talking to Dr. Adi about this the other day, and this brother helped us. He stirred us up. He said, "I heard you guys are supposed to be a charismatic bunch." He says, "Well, this is how we do it in Africa. When the brothers stand up to preach, they will hear the word of God, and the word of God is coming forward, and they will say, 'Praise the Lord!' And the congregation will go, 'Hallelujah!'"
Right.
Is that how they do it in Africa?
Right.
So we have to get some of it. Bill, we have to get this happening here a little bit more, right? So there we go. There we go. There we go. So we got to get some of that African life going among us. And so from time to time, if you hear, "Praise the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Oh, man, you guys are awesome. You guys catch on quick. That's amazing. This is a special weekend for us. I haven't seen Kennedy yet to wish her happy birthday. But we'll doubtless get a celebration going. Cam and Josh are away at a conference in Alberta, and we'll be hearing from them, I'm sure, after they get back. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, man, you guys are sharp. You guys are good. That's all there is to it. I can't imagine how it could be any better. So Cam and Candace. Cam is here. No, Cam's gone. Candace is here. And Kennedy's here. And so happy birthday to Kennedy. We actually have a double header this. Nathan, are you ready? We have a double header this weekend. Curtis and Jill. There we go. That's our newest small fry. She's in Langley. She arrived Friday. She arrived Friday, something like 6 o'clock or 5 in the morning. How does it always happen at such a time? But it's pretty small, eh? So we're probably not going to get a chance to see her till after Christmas, but we rejoice in it, and always you can breathe a little bit bigger sigh of relief. So Kennedy has company. That's what Kennedy looked like 14 years ago. Just a small fry we used to carry around just like this, but no more. Those days are gone. So we just have to. They haven't had time to prepare a name, Shannon. This thing all just came upon them so suddenly. You can't do everything at once. I think Curtis is taken after his dad maybe a bit there. You just don't want to do it too quick. But I'm sure we'll get a name in due course. She does weigh 6 pounds and a little bit. So that much we know. And father's doing well, and mother's doing well too. So praise the Lord. We want to pray this morning before we dive in to the Word of God. Some of you, most of you, perhaps heard the news yesterday of a shooting. I believe it was Pittsburgh in the synagogue, and it's grievous to us and painful to see the people of God under attack. And so I would that we would this morning just join together and pray comfort and grace upon these who are near to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these who have suffered onslaught from the kingdom of darkness, even to their very lives, in Jesus' name. We pray comfort, we pray the grace of God to come upon our Jewish brothers and sisters. Father, that they might in this time of crisis and fear and loss and hurt and pain, that they might find their hearts turned to you and receive grace to come to new places in their faith walk and in their revelation of the kingdom of God, that they might experience the love of God and the grace of God in Christ Jesus in ways beyond which they've ever done. So we pray your blessing on them in that place. And to your people, Father, over your people all over this world where there is suffering and loss, and pain and the onslaught of the evil one, we declare grace and the power to overcome with joy, Father, with confidence and with boldness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, we want to turn to the Word of God this morning, and I want you to begin with me in Genesis chapter 6. I'm able to have all my scriptures printed out, but Nathan's going to help me this morning. Our internet has been so bad. We're kind of hooped for a while, but help is on the way, and so we're rejoicing. And by the grace of God, hopefully next week this will be all fixed up. But in Genesis chapter 6, where we jump into the story of Noah, And we're going to begin at verse 5 and just read a few verses here. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, found grace, actually. These, then, are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God, and Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Someone said that there are three ways in which we can gain respect. The first is that we demand it. And the second is that we command it. And the third is that we earn it. And Noah, obviously, as we read this story, was a man who was respected not only by the community, but particularly by his own family and by his three sons and their families. He earned it, actually, and so that is how the story unfolds. Now, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And then verse 13 and 14, then God said to Noah, I want you to notice those three words, then God said. Repeat that with me, then God said. The earth was, things were going off the rails, but the scripture says, then God said to Noah, God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark. God said, then God said, make for yourself an ark. And the scripture goes on, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and so on and so forth. We know the story as it goes unfolds after that. I want to speak this morning to you, Fallon, on the theme of hearing God. Fallon just speaking to us a moment ago about the importance of us coming together with a sense of expectancy to hear God. Now, I do this with a little bit of trepidation, because I know there are many others who have gone beyond where I am. We're all in our own place. We all have our own experience, our own walk. We're all at different places in development. And so it's difficult for me to stand with great boldness and say, I'm the master. I've mastered this business of hearing the voice of God. But on the other hand, the more we talk about hearing God, we stir and provoke one another and sow seeds of faith on the inside of us that enlarge our capacity to receive direction from the Lord. And so that's my intent and my desire for you. I wish I could say that in every situation and circumstance of life, I've always heard God wonderfully and perfectly. I haven't. I would be embarrassed to tell you some of the stories of how I've suffered loss, different experiences where I've just missed. But on the other hand, I rejoice over the times that we have clearly, even as a family, heard God. As a church, we've had direction from the Lord that has helped us and brought us to new places in the kingdom of God. And so we have this learning curve and this learning experience that is common to us all. God said, the scripture says, then God said to Noah, make yourself an ark. What would have happened if Noah would have not have heard God? What would have been the result? What story would Noah have had to tell had he not heard God? Had he not discerned that God was speaking to him in this moment in his life? Actually, there would have been no story to tell. Had not Noah heard God, he would have not been, we wouldn't been, who knows what would have happened after that. We wouldn't be here talking about certainly the story of Noah. But you can imagine how that this event marked Noah's life and marked his children absolutely. One of the most remarkable videos that I've ever seen was a story in the search for Noah's Ark, and the documentary that shows a map, actually. I think it was beyond a map. I think it was a photograph of a hill and a valley and a stone outcroppings of buildings and so on that are a testament to the fact that Noah's family, after they came off the ark, settled in that particular community. It was a a remarkable moment in Noah's life and in his experience. But I want to say to you this morning that it was to Noah's advantage that he heard God, that he was able to discern what God was speaking to him. And of course, that affected not only his life, but his children after him. Now, although we are a Bible-believing church, although we believe the Word of God from cover to cover, someone said, we believe the Bible from cover to cover, and even on the spine when it says Holy Bible, we believe that too. We believe that. But yet, we need to hear and be reminded of the fact that as absolutely imperative and valuable and as much of a treasure the written Word of God is to us. The written Word of God is not all there is. The written Word of God was given to teach us doctrine. It was to teach us how to live. It was to teach us, it was to impart to us a spirit of faith for our lives. It was to give us guidance in some of these matters of doctrine and of practice. It was, the Scriptures have been given to impart grace to us. But there's more even to the Christian life than that. That is to say, not every question that we have in life, or not every decision that we have to make in life, can be totally answered from the Bible. For example, who to marry? How do I know who to marry? Well, the Bible doesn't say you shall marry Fred or you shall marry Hildegard. It doesn't say that. We have to tune into God and incorporate into our heart the counsels of God for these kinds of decisions in our lives. To receive day by day guidance for some of the decisions that we make to determine the will of God in our lives. So, John chapter 16. Let's go to John chapter 16 just as we're getting into this. In John chapter 5, Jesus said, I always do the things that I see my Father doing. I speak the things that I hear my Father speaking. That is to say, Jesus, one of the keys to Jesus' ministry and his life and his fruitfulness was that he lived a life of intimacy, of holiness and fellowship and communion with his Father so keenly and so vibrantly that he moved with confidence and he ministered with confidence, and he was able to impact, of course, his generation and us yet today. But in John chapter 17, the Scripture says this, chapter 16 rather, Jesus said this in verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. You will not be able to discern the heart of God and the mind of God for these circumstances, various circumstances and situations in your life. And then verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now, it was to Noah's advantage. The Scripture says, can we go back, Nathan, to verse 7? Verse 7 says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will help you in these decisions of life and in the junctures of your life that are of critical importance. It's to your advantage. And it was to Noah's advantage that the Holy Spirit spoke to him, that God visited him and spoke to him. It was to his advantage. We go through the pages of Scripture, and there are accounts after accounts of God speaking to His people. In Genesis chapter 1, do we have Genesis chapter 12 rather, Nathan? Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord said to Abraham, He said, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And verse 4, so Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was one who had tremendous advantage come to him, because God spoke to him, because he discerned that God was speaking to him. So that put him in a place of great advantage. Joseph but found himself in a place of great advantage because God was speaking to him. He understood through the circumstance of his life that God was driving his, directing his steps. Isaac, the scripture speaks of Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. The scripture talks about Isaac lived in a time of famine. It looked like in Isaac's world that the bottom was falling out of his business. They were facing famine. He was facing bankruptcy. Things were really looking serious. Looked like Isaac was about to take a bath. But the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Isaac. And he says, stay here. Don't go down to Egypt. Just stay here. And I want you to sow. And you know the story. I think it's in verse 12 or 16, something like that. The scripture says, and so Isaac sowed. And in that same year, he reaped 100-fold. He didn't go under. He didn't go bankrupt. He didn't take a bath. He reaped 100-fold because God spoke to him. He got supernatural input into his life in that particular moment that saved his life and actually gave him a story to tell to his descendants for years afterward. I received a phone call this last week from someone that I work with in the community, and this person said, my life is coming apart. I'm in a hole. I'm like in a pit, and I don't know how to get out. I just don't know what to do. I'm in crisis. I don't know how to get out of this pit. Now, how did this person get to that place? Well, it wasn't by hearing God. It wasn't from being led of the Holy Spirit. It was, in fact, that they had kind of taken the reins of their life, and they've done what seemed good to them, but it wasn't good. And so by the grace of God, we're working with this person, and by the grace of God, that is changing in their life. But the challenge for us is to come to places where we say, I believe this is God speaking to me. I believe by faith that God is going to help me and speak to me through these circumstances and situations in which I'm finding myself. Now, for many Christians, that's a wonderful and daunting thought all at the same time. A lot of godly people say, how can it be that God, I just can't imagine that God would speak to me. I'm scared to say that God is speaking to me, or that this is God, or this is the voice of God. I heard it said one time, sometimes leaders, pastors, or others will be up speaking, and they would say, well, God spoke to me and said this, or God spoke to me and said that, or God's speaking. Someone said, man, I'd be afraid, I'd be scared to follow somebody who said, God spoke to me. I mean, that's scary. The rebuttal to that was, I'd be scared to follow somebody who didn't say it. Right, so we need to understand that the importance of us knowing in our personal lives and in the context of the church that God is leading, and that is that God is speaking in ways that we could understand. And so in the Old Testament, we have Adam and Eve, we have Noah, we have Abraham, we have Isaac, we have Jacob, we have the prophets, we have Elijah at Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18, it's Elijah all by himself against Ahab and against the 400 prophets of Baal. And Ahab Elijah takes on this whole gang and he wrestles them to the ground. But in the middle of it all, he says this, a God in heaven, I want you to demonstrate now to this whole gang here that I have done everything that you have spoken to me. It is at your word that I have done what I've done. And because of that, God, of course, vindicated Elijah and vindicated the message and vindicated himself. And so we have Joseph and Daniel and Moses and Samuel and the prophets, on and on all the way throughout the scripture. But then we come to the New Testament. And so that's a little closer home for us. In Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, I'd just like to read a scripture for you, and we could spend a lot of time in Luke chapter 1. I love Luke chapter 1. We're soon getting to the nativity season. Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 are all about that, of course. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, we have the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And in verse 13, Well, verse 11, we'll jump into verse 11. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Zacharias, standing at the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, this was the voice of God. This was God speaking to Zacharias through an angel. Now, I've never, to my knowledge, had an angel speak to me. Some people do, probably perhaps more than we think. But in this situation, it was an angel that was speaking to Zacharias. In fact, later in the story, we find that his name was Gabriel. In verse 19, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and I've been sent with a message for you. But then we come down a little bit further, and we find that Gabriel comes in verse 25 to Mary. And the story unfolds. And in verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And the narrative unfolds to the story of the Nativity that, of course, we're familiar with. And so it was an angelic visitation that absolutely changed their lives. In John chapter 10, let's go to John chapter 10. Because in John chapter 10, Jesus is making another, he's teaching his the disciples. In verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Someone said, and I was reading something related to this scripture, and someone made this comment that when a little lamb is born into the flock, that little lamb doesn't know the shepherd's voice yet, because he's just a little lamb, he's just a baby. He doesn't know, so he doesn't follow the shepherd, he just follows the other sheep. But as he follows the other sheep, over time he comes then to know for himself the voice of the good shepherd. And a stranger they simply will not follow, verse 5, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And then, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I've had, over the years of my tenure as a leader and as a pastor, I've had people come to me and say, I just can't, I wrestle with that. How do I hear God's voice? I don't think I've heard God's voice. My rejoinder to that is, if you're saved, if you're born again, you heard God. You wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be in the kingdom of God if you never sensed the power of God and the presence of God and experienced the tug of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If you've never had your eyes open, because you've had your eyes open and your heart open, you've heard God. You are hearing God. We just need to recognize how that works in us. We sometimes use the analogy, and we're somehow, I think we're getting to the tail end of the football season. But in a football game, there's some rather an illustration of this principle in a football game. In a football game, you have a quarterback down in the middle of the field, and he's got a bunch of guys huddled around him, and there's lots of pressure, and there's lots of noise. The crowd is hollering and roaring and all kinds of stuff, hooting and hollering and banging, and the quarterback has to communicate to the guys in the huddle what the next play is, because if they get the play wrong, everything is going to go sideways. And so communication is everything they have to hear, but there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of distraction. Now, I personally believe that our hearing God, our experience of being led of the Holy Spirit of God, has to do with overcoming the noise and the distraction. I think of times when I could have done better. Had I just taken more time, had I just sat down and quiet and just taken time and focused myself more on what God was saying, I would have not made some of the mistakes in life that I've made. And at other times, By the grace of God, I have done better in that. And so God has helped us and God has directed our steps. So one of the things that happened to us, one of our experiences a number of years ago, we were living in southern Saskatchewan. Linda and I had been married for about 5 years, and we'd been serving this in the church in southern Saskatchewan. But the time was coming for us, we felt, to make a move. And we'd just been unsettled in our hearts, and we just felt that moment was happening for us. But we didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to go, and we didn't know how to get to anywhere else or other place. But we sensed God was disturbing our nest and that we were about to get pushed out of our nest. And so we began to seek God earnestly, fervently. We began to say, God, what are we going to do? And I remember how that I thought, well, maybe you know, the nest isn't that bad, and maybe we're going to be okay. We're going to take a vacation, and after vacation, when we get back, you know, maybe we'll be more settled. But that didn't happen. We had a vacation time and with our family. But we just continued to seek God and say, God, what is our next step? And through a whole series of circumstances, God began to direct our steps to a town, a city in northern Manitoba, Flin Flon. Now, Flin Flon was the end of the world. We had no idea where Flin Flon was when that began to get sown in our hearts and our spirit. But as we sought God, we just prayed and said, God in heaven, you know, help, right, help. And so we had began to have, you know, we got some phone calls from friends that encouraged us and supported us in that particular venture. But one day I was reading, let me say this, get into Romans chapter 15 for a second. One day I was just spending my time with the Lord, and just prior to that, we received a communique from the denominational head that we were serving under, and they said, We are interested in sending you off to Flin Flon because there's a group of believers there that are looking to establish an evangelical church, and we believe that you could help them and be leaders in that congregation. Whoa, that was beyond the pale of our experience, but that was all right. And so we were thinking, my, there's no church. They want us to start a church like from scratch, just with a handful of people. That was rather daunting to us. I was reading through one day in my quiet time with the Lord, my devotional time, I was reading in Romans chapter 15, and I came to verse 18. Verse 18, Paul says, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel." And then he said, verse 20, "And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, that I might not build upon another's foundation." And as I read those words, whoa, not build upon another's foundation. That's rather like starting a new church where there's, something just began to leap on the inside of me. And we knew from that moment, we knew that God was leading us in that direction. In fact, when we got to the city of Flin Flon, the very first time, I remember we didn't know even how to get there, so we had to get a map out, and we found ourselves driving. We came through Roblin, and straight north of Roblin, we came to Swan River. I remember driving down the streets of Swan River, and I'd heard about Swan River numerous times in life because we just knew people that had been here and so on. I remember driving down this main street here in 1977, so it's a while ago. I remember driving down the main street and seeing Ann's, what was it, Rick, help me? Yeah, Ann's Style Shop. I don't know why I remember Ann's Style Shop. I thought it was pretty good already, but Ann's Style Shop and Gisela's, right? Right? Right. For some reason, I remember though. But anyway, so we made our way through Swan River and up to Flin Flon. We were seriously concerned that we were going to fall off the edge of the world before we got to Flin Flon. This is in the dead of winter, middle of January. It was horribly cold, like 35 or 40. It was really cold. But when we got to Flin Flon, when you come up the highway number 10 into Flin Flon, there are two ways that you can go into Flin Flon. You can make a left turn and you can drive into the heart of the city, or you can take the perimeter around the north end. You kind of end up in the same place, but different ways of getting there. We were taking the perimeter around the north side of town. We hadn't met anybody. We hadn't talked to anybody. We hadn't been there absolutely before in our lives. But we knew we're just driving down the highway. And on the inside of me, God, the spirit of assurance and confidence with him, we just knew that we knew that we knew that we knew it was God's place for us. It's just amazing. And so that experience of being directed by the Lord and hearing the voice of God, so to speak, affected our lives. And to this day, affects us and helps us in our spiritual walk. Now, how does God speak? Well, again, a lot of people say, man, I just can't imagine. I just don't think I've ever heard God speak like that. How does it happen? Well, I want to say, first of all, that in my experience, certainly in all the studying and reading and conversing and so on that I've done, seldom does God speak in an audible voice. Very, very few are the people and few are the situations that people would say, God spoke to me. Yes, I heard the voice of God. Occasionally, you run across somebody that says that or has had that experience, and that's marvelous, that's awesome. But you don't hear that very often. Most often, it's something that happens on the inside of us. However, I would say to you this, that we need to be careful about saying, bah, bah, I never hear God. Who ever hears God? I think we need to be careful about saying that, because there's a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We get that. Here we go. Goes like this. Then the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, saying, verse 2, Son of man, you live in the midst of the rebellious house. They have eyes to see, but they don't see. And they have ears to hear, but they don't hear, for they are a rebellious house. I think we need to be cautious about saying, I never hear God, because the Bible says that one of the symptoms of a people that say, I never hear God, is that it's a sign that they are really rebellious in their heart. If they're really tender, if they're really seeking God, if they have tender heart to God, we will hear God. If we say, I never hear God, we need to be really careful, because it's just a sign of rebellion against the God. If my people, the scripture says, we'll pass on that. I'll pass on scripture. So the spirit of deafness is a spirit of rebellion. So we don't want to be in that camp. We don't want to miss God because I'm rebellious against what God wants to say to me. Rather, I want to be tender of heart and open and hungry, so that when God wants to speak to me, he can say what he wants to say. Okay, so what are some ways? I want to kind of move quickly through this. I have 12 ways that God speaks to you, or can speak to us, and he does. First of all, through nature. God speaks through nature. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of God, about God, is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. One of the things I love to see most of all, I love to see the moon in the sky. You guys have heard me talk about that before. When I see the moon, particularly when it's a big, round, full guy up there, I just constantly ask myself, how did that thing get there? How come it's there all the time? How come it's always in orbit? How come it never flies off? How come it's always shining? How did that get there? The Bible says that it is a testament to, and it's part of the voice of God to all of us, humanity everywhere, for generations and generations and generations. Can we go to Psalm 19, Nathan? Awesome. The heavens, the Bible says, are telling the glory of God. And their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. The Bible says that the wonders of creation declare to us that there is a God, that He's powerful, that He's glorious, that there nothing is too difficult for Him, that He's eternal, that He's majestic, that He's sovereign, that He created the whole universe. How is it all spinning in perfect orbit for year after year after year after year, for century after century? How could that happen? It's a testimony. It's part of the voice of God. Now, you and I didn't wake up this morning and say, God said, no, this is God. Look at the moon now. Look at the moon. This is me speaking. No. It's an impression in our heart. It's a stirring on the inside of us to wake up, get some coffee, smell the thing. This is God. This is God. The Bible says it's an immutable law for all of time, for all of creation, for all of humanity, a testimony and an expression from the voice of God. Verse 2 says, day to day pours forth speech. The moon doesn't say, hey everybody, this is the moon speaking. You hear me? No, it's an impression. It's a stirring on the inside to consider something that is way bigger than we are. It's a testament to the power of God and to the glory of God. So God speaks through nature. God speaks, number two, through human conscience. Again, in Romans 1, Paul says that even unbelievers show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately either accusing or defending them. My wife was telling me a story the other day of when she was working in A school. I'll use the word A school. One of the youngsters in the school had gone off the rails. He was doing something he shouldn't have been doing, and he got caught, and he was in trouble. But he wasn't quite up to making it right. He wasn't quite up to dealing with it, and so he tried to put it away and to cover it up and pretend it wasn't happening. But he was out in the bush someplace. My wife had talked to him and just kind of put her arm on his shoulder, but he wasn't interested. And then she had to go off into town, do some stuff. And she came into the classroom at the end of the day. And this guy is running to her. He said, where have you been? I just got to tell you, I was wrong. His conscience had smitten him all day long. He couldn't live with himself. He couldn't bear himself all day long because his conscience was convicting him that he had done wrong. He had acted wrongly. That is a sign of how God speaks not only to us as Christian believers, but as to people that don't know yet the Lord. Number three, God speaks through prophetic ministry. We've all experienced prophetic ministry, how people who are prophetic in their nature and who have cultivated the ability to discern what God's speaking, how they can open up to us the secrets of our heart. Most of us have been in situations where we've come and sat before the prophets, and they will tell us stuff. Whoa, 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 whoa. Bill shared with us the other evening at our home meeting how God gave him a word for a young fellow that the police brought into his house. And they said, can you help this guy? The guy was in distress and in lots of trouble, things were going sideways. And then Bill said to him, well, I see this and this about you. You did this. I see this happening in your home life. And his response, well, who told you that? How do you know that? Well, it was a prophetic gift from God. It was God speaking into that situation and into that person's life. And number four, God speaks through angelic visitation. We know all kinds of stories from the Bible. In Acts chapter 10, Peter in Cornelius' house has an angel come to him and speak to him, communicate to him things that he had no idea of, and give direction for his life, for his ministry, through visions. Now, some of you guys do visions better than I don't do visions for whatever all reasons, but God speaks to people. That is a frequent way for God shows people things. We received a phone call this week from friend of ours in Edmonton, and he was telling us about another friend that we have in common who has started a ministry to Muslim people in Edmonton. And people are coming, the Muslim people, particularly from Edmonton, are just flocking to this gathering. And they're coming to meet Jesus, coming to experience God, the love of God and the true God for the first time in their lives. There's one particular lady came in. She was invited by her friend. And she came to the meeting, to the gathering place with some fear and trepidation because she's Muslim, right? And this place is known to be Christian. And so she's got some fear and trepidation saying, what is this? What am I walking into? But as she comes to the meeting, she comes to the building and she says, I've seen this before. I've seen this building. And she walks in the door and she looks around and she says, I've seen this before. Well, she hadn't seen it before at all, except God had given her vision and an impartation of confidence through that vision. She said, God is in this place. This is a place that I need to be here. This is the place I'm supposed to be. Through the scriptures. And the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable doctrine. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The scripture. And as we're reading the scripture, not only does God give us understanding for our lives and patterns and principles to follow, but God quickens things to us. Like, for example, a moment ago I shared this story of how in Romans chapter 15, I'm reading the scripture, but all of a sudden this thing just comes alive to me. It was direction for my life for that particular moment. From the Word of God, something that the Holy Spirit made alive. Number 8, by an audible voice. Once more, not very many people hear, and not very many people hear an audible voice, but that, of course, shows up in Scripture. Number 9, through anointed teaching and preaching. Most of you, I'm sure, if you had the opportunity to speak, would say, man, there have been times I've heard people preach a message. I've heard people tell stories. I've heard people communicate from the Word of God. And something began to burn on the inside of me. Remember when in Luke chapter 24, just after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, or in the context of the resurrection, how the two disciples are walking down the road on the way to Emmaus, the Bible says. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and he's walking with them. They don't recognize him, but he begins to speak to them. The Bible says that he begins to communicate to them and explain to them all the things concerning himself from the law and the prophets. And after that event is all over, and Jesus is now absent from them. These two guys said, did not our hearts burn within us? Right? While he was ministering the Word of God, there's a fire burning on the inside of us. My life has been absolutely affected forever by I love hearing anointed preaching when people have the power of the Spirit of God and they speak things. They can talk about growing potatoes in China and God is speaking to me about this, or God is speaking to me about totally unrelated, but it's the power of God and it's the voice of God actually that's happening and being experienced in my life. Number 11. Pardon me, let me just get in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. We're talking about Spirit of God anointed, preaching and teaching. A certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things that were being spoken by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. God was speaking to her. She thought she just was down there doing business. She was just on a business trip, but God had her number and began to speak to her things that changed her life forever. Number 10, through the ministry of signs and miracles. There are all kinds of scriptures, beloved, I could share with you. But in Acts chapter 8, let's go to Acts chapter 8. Where is Acts here? In Acts chapter 8, the story of Philip. Bible says about him in verse 4 is where I'm supposed to be. Therefore, those who have been scattered went about preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, were giving attention to what was being said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. And then verse 12, when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They were being baptized, men and women alike. And even Simon himself believed. After being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed the signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Beloved, I believe that is where the church is moving more and more. Certainly in Asia, in Africa, other parts of the world where we're perhaps not quite as educated out of the move of God. But signs and wonders and miracles, right? When we see things like that happen, they imprint us. We say, God is alive. Some of you guys get a hold of me and you say, man, did you see this on TV? Have you been watching Sid Roth? Did you see this? There's a powerful story, powerful miracles happening. And I can hear it in your voices. You're speaking to me. God's been stirring up faith in you. God's been putting boldness and confidence. And God's been just stirring the kingdom of God in you as we see testimony of signs and wonders of miracles happening throughout the world, different places. Then number 11, how does God speak to us? God speaks to us through the testimony of the people whose lives God has touched. In John chapter 4, there's a story of the woman at the well. We call it the story of the woman at the well. And she had Jesus come and speak to her a word of knowledge that opened up her heart and said, whoa, how did you know that about me? And the story unfolds, and at the end of the count, the scripture says, from her city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I've ever done. I think there's probably none of us in this place who haven't heard a testimony from somebody, anybody, anywhere, anything, about a God moment or a God happening in their lives whose lives haven't been affected. I love hearing testimonies about people that have experienced God. Something happens when somebody testifies of how somebody else experienced God. That affects us on the inside. That is God speaking to us. And this woman experienced God. She would tell everybody what Jesus had done for her, and it affected the whole city. It was God speaking now, not just to her, but to the whole city through her. That became a part of her story and her testimony and her experience. A few weeks ago, we had Ron and Lorna Sylvester with us. They ministered on a Sunday morning, and on Saturday night, they actually, I think Cam and Candace were gone or something, can't remember. But somehow we were blessed to have Ron and Lorna at our supper table. We've known Ron and Lorna, kind of casually, increasingly as time has gone by. But we met them first probably 35 years ago. So we've known them. We have mutual friends. But anyway, we were enjoying supper together, and they began to tell us some of the things that were happening to them, some of the stories from their lives. And they began to tell us about this one fellow that, and I've forgotten all the connections, but they began to tell us a story of this family that was in crisis. They were in crisis financially. They were in crisis relationally. The man, the father, husband of the family, had significant addictions in his life, and the family was coming apart. The family was just going off the rails. And somehow, somebody introduced Dad to the Lord. Somehow he was brought to faith in Jesus. And when he came to faith in Jesus, it wasn't just an incremental little, it wasn't just a 2-degree switch. It was like 180 degrees, right? Once I was in trouble and I was going, I was lost. I was doomed. And next moment he had found life in Jesus. He was in the king. He was a king's kid. He was just flying, just in a moment of time. Well, what happened is this family is in crisis in every way, including financially. They were a farm family. But as this guy's coming to know Jesus, Jesus starts to speak to him. Spirit of God is bringing things to him. And one of the things that the Spirit of God said to him is, I want you, he says, this is what you need to do. You need to plant your entire farm this year to barley. Okay. Okay, he said, I want you to put the whole thing in barley. Everything, every place you can get a stick, you shove, put barley in. And then he said, I want you to load the thing up absolutely to the gunnels with hail insurance. Hail insurance. Oh, okay. Well, if those of you who are people of the land, you know there are some places where it hails and some places where it doesn't hail. I grew up on the farm. Some of my dad's farmland rarely saw hail, hardly ever. But another half section over there, like 7 years out of 10, you could count on it. You get hail. Well, this particular family lived in an area where nobody had hail insurance or whatever. Just virtually, there was no hail. Hail was unheard of. But he said, God spoke unto me. So he put everything he could get into barley, and then he loaded up. Sorry, Ryan, you don't listen to this. No insurance man wants to hear that. But the guy loaded up with insurance. He put everything he possibly could. Wouldn't you know that year? Totally wiped out with hail. He was the happiest man in all the county. He was the happiest guy you could ever imagine because he had advantage. The scripture says there's advantage in hearing the voice of God and following what God says to you. Abraham experienced advantage. Noah experienced advantage. There's advantage in being led by the Spirit of God. The last thing I want to talk about is by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Most of you that are here that have come to faith in Jesus, you understand the peace and the grace and the life that comes on the inside when you know that heaven is your home, that you belong to God, that you're a child of God. Peace, 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 peace. Rest, rest, joy, 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 joy. There's something on the inside. You just know that you know that you know that you know. Changes your life absolutely together, absolutely forever. We call it the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies with or bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So those are the primary ways that God speaks. Okay, I guess we're out of time. We better get going here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, Bible says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Not him who spoke, but him who is speaking. Don't refuse him. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns in heaven. If you would permit me, a couple stories that I'd like to end with. When Linda and I finally arrived in Flin Flon, again, we knew that we were in God's place for us. We had a wonderful time. We enjoyed our time there, got to make friends there, and God blessed us, and it was very good. But one day, I traveled to Regina with a friend of mine from Flin Flon, from the Paw. He was a pastor of a church in the Paw, and we went to Regina to take in a prayer conference, I think, a prayer retreat, whatever, a pastor's meeting. And on the way back, we got to talking, and he said to me, we're just talking shop, talking stuff, and he said to me, well, in our church in the Paw, he said, we're going to start a Christian school. Well, that just was a shocker to me. I'd never heard anything so remarkable. I'll use the word remarkable in my whole life. I won't say outlandish or wild, I won't say that. But definitely remarkable. And so he began to talk about his vision and his experience and desire for a school, a Christian school, for his family and for the church in Nepal, for the community in Nepal. That was just remarkable to me. I was speechless. But as he was speaking, God's speaking to me. And my fire starts to burn on the inside of me. In Luke chapter 1, the Bible talks about Elizabeth and how Virgin Mary comes to stay at her house, and the Bible records Elizabeth saying, Mary, when I heard the sound of your voice, the baby in me started to leap. Well, I want to tell you, on that day, when this brother's talking to me about the possibility of having a Christian school, for my kids, my baby started to leap. I mean, like I was 9 3/4 months pregnant. My baby is leaping. That conversation, that event shaped our lives. That affected us. That has affected our family to this day. And I am grateful. I am grateful till the last day of eternity that God spoke that to me, and for the effect that's had on our kids and our family, our children, and now our grandchildren. Awesome effect. Awesome. I will be forever grateful. God spoke to us. God shaped our future. God shaped our family. A couple years ago, you guys mostly have heard this story before, but I like it so much, you'll allow me to tell you one more time. A couple years ago, 3 years ago, Ray Keene suffered the loss of his wife, Ruth, Lance's mom. That was a very painful moment for their family, and particularly for Ray. Ray, in the weeks and the months that followed, was absolutely a lost puppy. Amen? All he could talk about was his lostness and his loneliness and the pain of being alone. Obviously, after 60 years of marriage, right, that's how it is. But it would have been easy to say, Ray, you are now 81 years old. You walk with a cane. You know, your hair is white, what there is of it. Right? Yada, yada, yada. But somehow, I don't know how, maybe because I was his pastor, I don't know. But somehow I believed. Somehow God stirred in me that there is a wife for Ray down the road. One day, we were just in the coffee room just across the hall. And I said, Ray, I want you to come to my house this afternoon. So we brought him over to our house and we fed him. And he said, praise the Lord!
Hallelujah!
You guys are slipping a little bit. We fed him. And after it was all done, I said, Ray, I want you to come with me. And in the first time in my life, I sat down at a dating website. Now, the first time I did that, we really, quite royally, struck out. I don't know where we were, out in the bush someplace, but it wasn't. We were off target. But the second time, it was better. But Ray, bless his heart. Was too tight to put in $25. So I said, Ray, I will put in the $25 for you. You just sit down. And so we put it, I don't know, by the time we were done, it was probably 150 before we were done. But as we're typing this up, well, this one is not for me because she doesn't believe like I do. And this one certainly isn't for me because she's got short hair. She's got to have long hair. Is that right, Lance? He's my witness. Got to have long hair. But after a while, here this gal pops up. She actually writes me a letter because Ray doesn't have a computer. He don't know how to even turn one on or off. And so she says, Dear Ray. I said, Yes, I hear you. And finally I respond, Please, this is the last time. I am not the Ray you think I am. If you want to talk to the right Ray, here's the phone number. And so one day he gets a phone call. And these two begin to talk and to pray and to laugh and to sing and to sing gospel songs till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, if you phone him before noon, forget it. He's in another land. Can't even contact him. Is that right, Lance? Probably still that way. But it was God. It was the voice of God. Something lit a fire on the inside of me. There is a woman that is looking for a godly man. And we're going to find her. I said, Ray, God's got a woman for you. God, we're going to find her. Pentecostal pastor's widow. Happy today as two bugs in a rug. It's God. And he's not walking with a cane. And everything's better. Last week, Dave. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there you go. Last week, Dave Manishin was here. I know I'm long, you guys, but this is an extra bonus. Last week, Dave Manishin was here. And he talked to us about getting up out of our comfort zone, about stirring ourselves to be passionate God seekers. He talked to us about how we will never become the best version of ourselves inside our comfort zone. Remember that? When we got home, it was a powerful meeting last week. Powerful service. We got home and Linda said to me, Ray, she said, that was a prophetic word for our whole church. In fact, she said that whole message was a prophetic word, not just for our church, but for the body of Christ everywhere. It's a prophetic word, powerful for us. But it has to do, beloved, with us hearing now and engaging what we've done, what we've heard. Recognizing that that was God speaking to us, saying to us things that we need to hear. Let me conclude. When you determine in your heart that you're going to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God, that you're going to follow up on what God speaks to you, you'll never know how far. You'll never know how far the blessing's going to go. When Isaac was facing bankruptcy, when Isaac was looked like the famine was going to consume him and consume his family, he said, I'm going to follow what God said. I'm going to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to sow, and I believe God for an increase. I'm going to believe God for harvest. I'm going to believe God for a powerful visitation from heaven that's going to turn this situation absolutely around. And that's exactly what happened. Because he heard God. He listened to what the Holy Spirit was prompting him to say and prompting him to do. This morning, maybe some of that fits you. I suspect that some of that fits you, some of you guys. And I would encourage you, no matter what your situation, you are not too far gone. Your situation is not too hard for God. What happens is when you and I find ourselves in crisis situations, what we need to do is start to crowd close to God and say, God, what would you say? What should I do? My ear is open, Father. My eyes are on you. My ears are open now. Tell me what we should do. And I believe that God delights in those moments. He begins to speak stuff to us that gives us a way out of our crisis into the blessing. Maybe someone may be here today who would say, man, Pastor Ray, you talk about experiencing God and about having God speak and give direction to your life. But I've never experienced that. In fact, I'm not even in faith in Jesus. I've never experienced what it is to come to faith in Jesus. I'm not even in the kingdom of God. Well, this morning, if that's you, then I would invite you. We're going to have a prayer team up here in a minute. And we're going to pray together. But if that's you and you want to come to experience Jesus, want to experience the power of God, then we're going to take you by the hand. We'll take you by the hand and we'll lead you into the best life that you ever dreamed you could have. Let's stand together. God Most High. God Most High, we so thank you that your word is so full of hope and so full of life, so full of vitality, so full of counsel and light and blessedness. Father, not only your written word, but even the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Father, that you would speak to us this morning and draw us out of our comfort zone, or draw us out of the place perhaps of need, or even the place of desperation. So we would come to say, God, what would you have me to do? The man that we come to know as Saul of Tarsus, one day he was out persecuting the church, and he was on had a vendetta against the church, until all of a sudden he finds his paths are intersected by the Spirit of God and by the glory of God. He finds himself in crisis, down on his hands, on his knees, on the blacktop, and his cry is, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the voice of God came to him and said, I want you to rise up. And I want you to get yourself in town, because there's a man here who's going to lead you into kingdom of God. And he's going to lead you into blessing and fruitfulness like you have never known, or like you could otherwise never ever know. He's going to make your life to be a fruitful and glorious testimony to the power of God and the goodness of God. So Father, this morning as a congregation, we incline our ear to you and we say, Father, we would make it to be our confession. By faith, I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. By faith, I am led of the Spirit. By faith, I hear the voice of God. And by faith, I will not only be a hearer, but a doer. That all the fruitfulness and all the blessing and the very destiny that you have for my life will happen in full measure, because I've become a hearer and a doer. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 So, Father, pray your blessing over this congregation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You all fellowship together. There's some tea and coffee at the other end of the house. Love one another. Care for one another. And if anyone would like prayer, we'd just be delighted.